And I have for you this morning, and then we'll come with some opening remarks, but you need to be thinking about this question. I'd like to give it to you two or three times, and you'll be geared up and ready for it then when we actually do turn to it. But the question is, how would you describe your home? What description would you use to give to it? It is indeed an honor and a privilege to be here. I thank you for the invitation and your great hospitality, as some have said already in the past. That is not echoing what they say, but rather for my own sake. I appreciate the hospitality. If you had something to do with the meal yesterday, maybe not cooking, but help planning it and putting away and putting up and what have you, all the things that it takes to make such happen, thank you as well. It was great. I enjoyed it immensely. Home cooking is always better than the meals we can eat at the commercial establishments up and down the street, and I appreciate it. My sincere compliments next to you on the job well done. Your building is in great shape. I admire it. I appreciate the good facility that you have here, organizational skills that you've put together and what have you to come off with such a lectureship as this. I've enjoyed some of the speakers. Well, I've enjoyed all of them that I've heard. Let me say that accurately. Well, Eugene did speak, though, yesterday. Eugene jokes are funny. And I'll tell you this one before we get out of time. You know how they do the thing with the H's, Tommy, in Jamaica? If your name begins in a vowel, they put a H in front of it. And if your name ends in an H, with like mine does, K-E-I-T-H, Brother Cozart, Keith McNeely, they leave the H off. And so it's Keat. And Eugene, for this little fellow that was at Old Harbor one year, it was always Hoogene. And so he remains Hoogene in my mind, and you got to meet him yesterday, and that's anyway. But finally, after I have thanked you for the invitation, after I have sincerely complimented you, but in an orderly way, let me finally challenge you to utilize these great lessons that have been prepared. All these trappings are not just so these folks can spend money on electronics, but rather get you a copy of either the electronic, recorded media, and what have you. Go back, as was said earlier, review and relook at some of the points that were made, some of the finer points that Brother Bright made this morning. You'll need to look at some of those and listen to them again. I know I want to, because of the years of study that he's placed into those details that he laid out before us. But as well, the printed work. Yes, read the book. Study the book. And then as well, memorize some of the finer points, paragraph-wise, so that you can be the better student of God. What did it say in the Bible? My people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Let's not be destroyed. Well, I do appreciate the opportunity to be here. Now, if you will, back to our question. How would you describe your home? Not mine. I get some descriptors, if you will, of mine and other homes. But how would you describe this morning your home? You see, to describe is to begin to understand. It's kind of like the old boy that was going to learn to be a scientist. And his professor set him in a room for some 2 or 3 weeks or a month and a half and said, draw the fish. If you've not ever read that story, it's really interesting. He began to look at the outside of the fish, and before long then he got to looking at the ends after a week or two, looking at the inside of the fish and drawing pictures of it. How would you describe your home? When you begin to describe it, you'll then begin to understand it. You'll begin to realize some things about it. And I would say you begin to fix, slash, repair, or improve, if whichever the case may be, your home. You see, this morning our title, if you're looking for one, is Welcome to Paradise, dash, Our Home. You see, the title, in a brief explanation, our homes can and should be able to be described as paradise. We'll have more to say about that. But give yourself a sign. We have a daughter that's about to be married, and I've been trying to, since wrote this lesson, been trying to think of a way, how could I get a copy of, you know, one of these little samplers that you see up on the embroidery statements and what have you, that you see on the walls of various homes. My dad taught me three things, two things really, several things, but one of the two is about the front door. We had a grandfather clock when we came in the front door of our house, and he said when he procured this, had it made from scratch from 100-year-old lumber and all that, he said it needs to be by the front door where people can see it when you come in. Something to be proud of, I guess, or see what time you're leaving, that kind of. And these massive, great mirrors that you see, you can order them, buy them in various stores, they need to be close or within view of the front door. Guess so you can see how you look before you leave or that kind of thing. But thirdly, wouldn't it be great if you had a sign that you saw, your friends and neighbors saw, and that you were reminded of every time you came in the door that said, "Welcome to paradise, our home." Let's talk about that. Number one, paradise. The first home in the Garden of Eden. Well, there's a principle Brother Renshaw taught us, Tommy, in school of first mention. The principle of first mention in the Bible. You get a topic, go back to the very first time that it comes up in the Bible and see what you can learn initially about that topic. Paradise, first two definitions over the internet, what do you call it, dictionary.com. Paradise is heaven. Number two, paradise is an intermediate place. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Paradise number three, often with a capital letter, means or speaks of the Garden of Eden. But number four, paradise, fourth definition in line, is a place of extreme or ideal beauty, delight, happiness. We go on vacation. Let's go to paradise. Well, that's the way we're using the word today. So the first home can be described as paradise using that principle of first mention. Let's go back and visit Adam and Eve. If you like, let's do some reading in the Bible in Genesis early on. Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It's grand, isn't it, to hear those pages turn. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden." And there, now creation has already happened. It's a part of the creation, of course, but in a specialized way, it seems, if you've not ever noticed that phrase. "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Now, I believe there's a lot that we can know about these things. There's a lot that we wish we knew and could ask a lot of unanswerable questions, I suppose. But at least this much we know. There was a garden there, and we refer to it politely and accurately, it seems, as paradise. Chapter 2 and verse 18, let's skip on down and we'll come back and make some points. "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Chapter 2 and verse 20, the B phrase there, if you will. "But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him." 23 through 25 for time's sake. "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." What you have before you is a picture of the first home. And we're referring to it this morning for study's sake, number one, as paradise. They had it all. Can you get the picture? Can you paint the picture? Can you dramatize it in your mind? They had it all. Let me list. They had each other. As I, in the work that I've called myself to, I suppose, notice I didn't say the Lord called me to it, but the work that I'm doing right now to pay bills, I'm separated from my family from time to time, great lengths of time, and I have a greater appreciation for them. They had it all. Number one in the list, they had each other. Number two, they had food. You see homeless people rummaging through trash receptacles and what have you just to get a bite to eat. They didn't have to do that. They had a place, number three, if you're listing them. They had a place to be. You talk to these young people that are going out, launching out, and they don't even have the money saved up yet to even have an apartment, if you will. And oh, what they would do. Maybe having to stay with mom and dad for a month or two. Oh, the horrors, right? Well, they had a place to be. But probably most important or most enjoyable, most paradisical, would be they had time with God. Do you get that? They walked and talked with God. How better could I enumerate to get you to begin to see their home was paradise? Do you get it? You're beginning to pick up on it, I think. Well, hurriedly, Adam and Eve, as we talk about them, they're in paradise. They lost it all. Why? Because of sin. Sin describes. Sin depicts. Sin destroys. Sin in total. That one word is what caused them to lose the home that we're studying this morning. The first home there in the Garden of Eden, that place called paradise, that home called welcome, you could see as you walked into their house, perhaps, the sampler that said, welcome to paradise, our home. Sin took that home away from them. Sin destroyed that place called paradise, their home. Now, as we continue to think about paradise, looking at Adam and Eve, let's go on to you and I for just a minute. You and I, the initial home we build, what about it? I told you that that young daughter of ours, the oldest of the two, but still she's young to mother and I, are about to start a home. What did Eugene say yesterday? Andrew gets left out, the son-in-law-to-be. Well, Mitch is our to-be son-in-law, and we are very proud of him as well. But that initial home, and what beauties they'll have. They'll live cheaply. They'll live in the very beginning stages like we've all done as couples. But it'll probably be the best part of their home that they ever had together. That initial home, you and I start together. As couples, you see, you and your spouse and mine. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not nothing, it profiteth me nothing. Somebody said, written in the margin of my Bible years ago, seven attributes minus one equals nothing. That's a math challenge for you. Seven minus one equals nothing. You got all this. Count them up, seven items if they be there. Minus one, that is minus love, and you have nothing. That's the verses, if you will, commented upon. You and I, then, in our paradisical home, we have it all as well. We have each other. We have food and a place to be, and yes, hopefully in our own homes, time with God. The homes that we build based upon love, 13:1-3, where we read, 4-7 continues, charity suffereth long and is kind, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. That's the home that you and I built early on with our special other, if you will. You see, the Bible gives, just over the page, a turn or two into Ephesians, gives some guidelines. Give some guidelines, just like Adam and Eve there had commandments, guidelines, ever how you choose to depict them. Had some commandments, and likewise the Bible gives command or directives, if you will. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21-25, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, As the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Highlight in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. How? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, will you have that special place called the Garden of Eden actually recreated in actual, literal, physical? No. But as I defined off of the fourth definition given on dictionary.com, won't you have that special relationship with you and your husband or wife? If you follow God's directives, you are accurate and honest and sincere to describe the home that you and her or you and him have started together as paradise. Well, you'll have children coming into that relationship eventually. The beauty of a newborn, our admiration of a developing child. We've talked, many of us have, about how our children are growing up, shared pictures in the breaks and what have you. Oh, by the way, yes, I've got pictures, a new grandparent will say. Isn't that right, Brother Cozart? Pictures? No pictures. What a granddad. At least he's honest, isn't he? We appreciate him and pick on him anyway. Well, even further, as we talk about children, the beauty of a newborn, admiration of them as they develop, further, when they choose a husband or a wife, we as parents are talking about for a moment or two the paradise home that we have developed. Well, let's hold that but for just a minute. Get in your car with me for a minute or two and let's go for a ride around the town of Muskogee. Cross the mountains over into Arkansas, maybe up north into Kansas. Somewhere on this ride we'll see a subdivision. It's just opened. Maybe the streets have been laid out and there's one or two, maybe three homes built in there. And out there on the front grand entrance, I can picture one that's got a big waterfall with native stone coming down it. Not very many houses built. And I bet if I drove in that driveway over as you come into Farmington there, leaving Westville, going the state line of Oklahoma and Arkansas, and go another 20 miles, you'll go right by it as you come in on Highway 62 into Farmington. There on the right, and right beside that great fountain, might be the words, "Model Home is now open." That's what we're talking about. The model home can be open, can't it? You and I can build the model home. But secondly, for time's sake, study forward. The first home, that is the Garden of Eden, was called paradise, number one. If you're taking notes, the first home, the Garden of Eden, there, Adam and Eve's home, number two, could be accurately described as paradise lost. You see, Adam and Eve had directives from God. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, the Bible there says, "The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. There in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, a chain reference from there over to chapter 3 and verse 4, Satan quotes this out almost, doesn't he? "Thou shalt not surely die." And so in this paradisical enter, if you will, into this paradisical home, enter the picture of Satan and his lies. God said, "Thou shalt die." Satan said, "Thou shalt not die." Well, the husband and the wife, Adam and Eve, both eat and sin. Notice, and I know there's a lot of study that can be made throughout the Bible, and I understand and realize that, about the responsibilities of both parties involved. But for the time being right now, we're saying both of them in the conclusion ate and sinned. What about the consequences, if you will? the consequences of their sin. They then at that moment began to have knowledge of sin. It's interesting, isn't it? They began to have knowledge of sin. They went on as a consequence of their sin to begin hiding from God. If you get yourself involved, just think about it for a moment or two, into some sinful situations, you don't want God coming and knocking on the door, as we continue to study and think for a moment or two, of that paradisical home. Maybe you've raised your voice to your wife, or you're vain and puffed up, back to 1 Corinthians 13. Maybe you've began to, husbands, mistreat your wives and do some things there to your children and what have you that maybe you should not have done. Not maybe, that you know you should not have done. And then God comes and knocks on the door. You're no longer willing, if you will, to have that devotional with your family and read the Bible and think and discuss spiritual things. You're no longer the spiritual person that you once were. And friend, let me tell you in a promissory way. Let me tell you in a guaranteed way that you will go over and take that sign down, "Welcome to our home, paradise." Because it no longer will fit, will it? Because you've allowed sin to enter into your home. And so just as there were consequences to the sins that Adam and Eve were involved in, hiding from God, man even blaming the woman slash God. Do some study on that. "The woman that you gave me, God." That's in the text. Well, they continue to be sorrowful as we think about consequences. Verse 16, verse 17, the ground was cursed. Verse 23, ultimately they were sent from the garden. Paradise is lost. Now let's make some application to you and I for a moment or two. We have God-given directives in our home, don't we? We've looked at them. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. We have God-given directives on the home. They're simple and obvious. And we can say this in a simplified and in a most obvious way. Follow God, enjoy paradise at home. Follow Satan, realize paradise will be lost. It's a guarantee. It's an ironclad guarantee. And the consequences of sin in the home will egregiously and totally and greatly multiply. Hopefully. You're not brokenhearted over some of the consequences of the sins that have been committed in your home. But they're terrible, aren't they? And so, as we get back in our cars, you and I, ride around Muskogee, ride around Kansas, ride around Texas, and see that subdivision, the sign now says, "The model home is closed." It no longer exists. Paradise has been lost. You've allowed sin to come in and take that model home away from you. In fact, there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 23 and 4, we referenced it. "Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out man, and he placed," watch it now, "at the east of the Garden of Eden, cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Oh, the questions that we wish we could get answered. But it seems like as Adam and Eve might have turned back and looked, let's just slip back in. We're already sinners anyway. We're already hiding from God anyway. He's no longer walking and talking with us anyway. We no longer have paradise at home. Let's see if we can slip back in there. But they couldn't, could they? The model home is now closed. Yours and mine, likewise, friend, is and will be guaranteed closed when sin is allowed in. Follow God. Allow God to continue to be the ruler of your home, and you'll enjoy paradise. But I must say, and oh, with exclamation point. The sadness and high degree of felt loss when the home that you so early in your relationship with your husband and wife started, and how happy it was. But oh, the deep feeling of loss whenever you allow that home to be destroyed by sin. As we continue to study, we have said the first home, paradise, the first home, that is Garden of Eden, can be described accurately as paradise lost. But there's a happy point. Let's go to it. Thirdly, the first home, the Garden of Eden, if you will, or that first home of Adam and Eve, paradise regained, our third point of the morning. Paradise regained. Let me say it this way before we go forward. It is the case that when you and I read God's Word, we read of perfection. You understand what I'm saying? The perfect Christian. We know it's hard to create or to come up with that model, isn't it? The perfect Christian. We read of the perfect home. Being honest with ourselves, we know it's hard to come up with that model home. We read of the perfect employee and the perfect citizen and the perfect neighbor and on, but it's hard, near into impossible, to be those things. But we still set our high standards and live by them, or allow the Bible to set our high standards and live toward them, don't we? And that's where we want to go for the next few minutes. Paradise regained. Adam and Eve, first of all, surely both were happy later on, Genesis 4 there, at the delivery of their children, Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. But understand that the actual Garden of Eden was forever lost to Adam and Eve. Can't go back there, not saying you could or did. But now next, you and I. Perhaps the conduct of your home has not been according to God. Let's be honest. Maybe it hasn't. Maybe you haven't been the father or the mother or the sibling, if you will. Maybe you've been unkind to your brother or sister. You haven't been as you ought to be according to God. Let me advise you. Would you take some advice for an almost old guy? Well, we've been dwelling too much on this age thing. I'm 10 years younger than some of these people, 20 years younger than some of the others. Let's keep up with how much younger I am than others, rather than how old, much older I am than some. Let me advise you for a minute. Let me advise you that before it's too late, before it's eternally too late, run, do not walk back to God and His given guidelines for your home. That's where you want to be. I know in your heart of hearts, that's where you want to be. You say, well, preacher, I'm not there now. That's all right. That's all right. That's me talking, saying it's all right. It's not all right in your life. It's not all right, I'm certain, in the eyes of God, but I'm telling you, get back. Turn your life around. Come on back. Paradise still waits and can be regained for you. That loving wife, those loving children, loving husband. Get back to the God-given guidelines. I didn't take the time to detail many, many, many of them out. If given a quick test or quiz, you could highlight them and detail them out in list form. How the children are to be, how the wives are to be, how the husbands are to be. Get back to God-given guidelines. Paradise regained is what awaits you. And then we'll begin to say, as we get in our cars, you and I together, drive around up into Kansas, off into Iowa, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Kentucky. We see that subdivision. What's the sign say now? It used to say, remember, model home is available, is open. Model home is closed. The model home is reopening. It's available and awaiting you to reopen it. Let me give you a subsection, or as they might say in some books, an appendix to our lesson that we've just studied. And then I'll have our conclusion. What about the home and the church, as the title suggests? Maybe you've worked in a meat market or grocery store or something like that. Or even you've been sent there by your wife to get the fixings for a salad. The old boy's going through there and he's picking up all the bad lettuce and all the vegetables that gone bad over the night, and he's throwing them in a dumpster, and you say, "Hey, wait a minute. Wifey sent me in here to get some things for a salad. Let me dig through there and see what you got." For whatever foolish reason, you carry that home. For whatever foolish reason, maybe you had to have the salad ready when she got home and didn't get straightened out. You have just made the most terrible, useless salad. It won't be eat. What are we saying? The ingredients is everything. Moms and dads, if we'll raise up good, godly, well-taught, educated, matured children, the church will be good, godly people, well-matured, outgoing, working in their communities. I give you this one. Well, I urge you to look for this one. There on page 111 in the book, great lesson that had been written. It lists Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. Jesus grew. He grew four ways. What? In wisdom, stature, favor with God and man. Let's break that down. He grew in wisdom. Homes are to develop mentally astute children. He grew in stature. What about the mom that lets the child sit on the couch and do the couch potato thing all of their life and have no physical development whatsoever? Terrible. Or further, what about growing in favor with God? That's our spiritual development. Growing in favor with man, that's our social development. That's developing good children. Home has those responsibilities, not the church. But if the home will do it, it will then what? Produce good, godly Christians, which makes up the home, the church, excuse me. And so, as an appendix, think on those things. But a very quick conclusion. What we've seen this morning is that that place called paradise, the home, exists and sometimes is lost, but thirdly, can be regained. Friend, it might be that all these things we've been discussing this morning is foreign to you because you're not a member of the Lord's church. You're not a New Testament Christian. You have not ever been born again. The precious blood of Jesus has never been applied to you. I'm talking to you now about your eternal destiny. You want to go and live with God eternally. If we were to stand out on one of the main streets here in Muskogee and say, how many people want to go to heaven? I'm sure up in the 90 percentile ranking, you always got a nut in any crowd, right? So up in the 90s, high 90s, people would say, yeah, I'll go. I love to go to heaven. That's a beautiful place, streets of gold and on. But then, second question, how many of you are willing to get ready to go? Well, I got to go to the casino tomorrow night and do my gambling and betting on the horses or drinking or carousing around or whatever foolishness it is that calls people away. Get back to me on that, they might say. What about you? This morning, are you prepared to go to heaven? Are you living a life determined and destined to go to heaven? If you're not, we're talking to you. Friend, you can become a New Testament Christian by believing in Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, repenting of your sins, that's turning from them, Bible indicates that clearly, and further confessing, that is with your mouth, confessing the faith, yes, I believe Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, and then being buried in a watery grave of baptism. At said which point you begin to walk a faithful life, and it could be, as we've discussed this morning in detail, that maybe you've ceased walking faithful to God, and you're desirous and determined to go to heaven and want right now to turn your life around and come back to Him or to come to Him initially. Beautiful song of invitation has been picked out, and there's good brethren here ready, willing, and waiting to work with you in your various life details that need to be dealt with. Don't you want to respond even this morning? Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Let's get back to paradise. Won't you come as we stand singing?